You're listening to Cattails.
Hi, I'm Kat, and today I'm chatting with the hottest band to come out of Manchester since Oasis. It's contagious, it's creating an epidemic, it's caused by brothers Mark and Paul Hincks, it's some kind of illness. Welcome, guys, how are you?
Hello.
Hey, Kat, you all right?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm fine, thank you. You two sound on fine fettle, which is really good news.
Just chilling out, relaxing a little bit.
That's brilliant. So you've got a big gig coming up on Friday, haven't you, at the O2 Ritz in Manchester. Is that one of the biggest venues that you've played? It must be very important for you.
Yeah, this is the biggest one. We've played all the biggest venues in Manchester, Academy and 251 and place in Liverpool, London, but this is our biggest one so far, so really excited about being on that stage.
Probably my favourite, actually.
So it's all a bit of a sort of like a scary moment for you if it's the biggest one. It's kind of like knee-jerking, knee-knocking, uh-oh.
We never really get nervous because we know how good we are, so we just enjoy it.
Oh, I love that confidence. That is brilliant. I love it. Now, you've got a new LP out, haven't you, as well? So it must be, it's called The Awakening, and I've heard it, which is absolutely wonderful, I have to say. Now, it's your second recording, isn't it? So how did that all come about? Where are you up to in the stages of your career so far, then?
This is our third album.
I've missed one. Oh, no. Well, how come you haven't sent me that one? How could you be so cruel?
The first one was a bit more like a all solo effort, and then we did an album called Souls. And this one's a bit more acoustic-y than ones. This one's more
almost dance, I suppose.
Yeah, almost dance music, sounds a bit 80s.
That was the intention, though, actually. Watched a lot of Miami Vice, try and get ideas and try and, you know, just have a lot of fun doing this one.
Yeah, it must be quite difficult for a new band coming through. I mean, you've been together for quite some time, obviously being brothers, obviously been working together. But for new bands coming out now, it must be quite difficult to find your own sound. Is that something that you found a bit of a tricky moment?
Not really, no. I think it depends what you're doing music for. We've only ever done it, well, for us, really, you know, just because we enjoy doing it. Never really had a sound in mind, just playing music together and whatever came out. And now it sounds at the moment what it's sounding like, and we're going to start work on a new one soon, so see what that sounds like.
And then how have you gone about the writing process? Because I know both of you write, don't you? Have you had a bit of a sort of, you know, a bit of each of you in there, or has it been a collaborative approach? What do you actually do to get the best sound?
There's always, like sometimes 50-50 on a song, sometimes I'll write one completely, Paul will write one completely, and then give it to each other and we'll add little bits in. But yeah, there's, especially on the last one, I think I did the majority of the writing on the last one lyrically, but Souls was probably 50-50.
I think it depends who's going through the most extreme emotions. We tend to write when we're either really, really upset or really, really happy. So I can come to Mark with a song and he'll know what it's about, and it's just what he can bring to it. And or maybe it's like a lyric, or maybe it's a guitar line or something. But yeah, that's how we tend to write. We don't really sit down and think, right, we'll write something. It's just when a song comes together, and then we'll just be off on a... We'll just get that creativity again, that creative spark, and comes an album. We don't really feel pressure to write something. It's just...
Yeah, it must be quite difficult to say, well, where am I going to start with this? Do I start with the lyrics, or do I start with the melody? Do I start with the chord progressions? I mean, what would your tip be for songwriters out there who are looking towards doing something like you?
Oh, God.
you'll never be as good as us, but... the way we're doing it on this album, I think, differently is... we've got a drum machine, so we'll get a drum beat. Mark will program some drum beats, and then I'll put some synthesizers on, and then we'll put the lyrics over the top, and that comes really quickly.
Sometimes, like I did a couple where, beat first this time. Sometimes it's a guitar part first, but very rarely will I write some lyrics and think, right, we'll put music to the lyrics, if you know what I mean. Uh-huh. Might write a lot of poetry and then lyrics, and then just keep them in the book or whatever, and then if we come up with a song or a tune or anything like that, then it's like we've got something there, and it's just a matter of coming back through and putting a melody to and using the
We very rarely spend too much time on a tune as well, which is what Mark hates about me so much, but
I've got to find a compromise. It's like I said, after writing the last one, me and Paul was adamant that they had to be more or less like the rough version done within about 10-15 minutes. So that meant writing, coming up with new lyrics, more or less, on the spot. Wow. Where I'd usually do that and then go back to them, maybe spend a couple of weeks on them and, you know, get them perfect. But
yeah. I think one of my, I don't know whether it's called a Pet 8 or something, I think all this modern music now, it sounds like it's so overproduced and overblown, and it loses its soul, and I just think, get it out there, you know, if it's, make it sound beautiful, keep it fresh, and then it's ready to move on to the next one. And we've got a lot of great reviews about our music, about the production and things like that, and, you know, and they won't believe how we actually pull it off, because it's only like a couple of days really until we've finished the tune.
Yeah, it's completely low tech as well, which is, we've always done it. I think this time, with this album, I think the agreement is, you might not know yet, is that, yeah, it's a week between. So
there's nothing wrong with having beautiful production. I mean, there's some amazing artists in Manchester at the moment. Josie Marine has just released a new track, and that's fantastic. That's really well produced. It's just, we're not very technical on this recording thing. We just do it our own way, and we found a little way of doing it, which we're really comfortable with. Making it sound beautiful, and we got that many reviews, and we got played on Radio 6, on BBC, soundtrack to a film and things, so we don't need anyone saying you should be doing this and you should be doing that, because we've already achieved more than we ever thought we would do, you know.
Yeah, do you know what, I love what you're saying there, because I think what you're capturing for me is almost like the rawness and the raw essence of what you're wanting to say within that song. And by not sort of going down the total production, get this note right, get that right, what about layering this, you're capturing that raw emotion, and whilst at the same time producing a good product, clearly, because it sounds fabulous, guys. But you sound like you're get it down there and capture that rawness to start with, that tribal feel that we all have.
Yeah, just capturing that, like I was saying, the extreme emotion, what you're going through at the time. Instead of keep going back to a song and working on it over years and years, like capture that feeling, what you're going through at the time. And like the first album is like, it sounds so raw and fragile, and it sounds like I'm heartbroken because I was.
Oh.
You know, and I like that in music, where you can listen back to a piece of work and think, that's what I was going through at the time. And, you know, on the last album, it's Awakening album, it sounds like we're having a bit more fun, and it sounds fresh.
Yeah, a little bit. It's still pretty heavy, some of it.
Yeah, a lot of it's heavy, yeah.
I mean, it depends how you look at it. We had fun in an aspect as well, not writing it particularly about ourselves. And like what you say about capturing that emotion, that is what it's about. I mean, if you can put that across, other people will feel that. If you write something and then either write it for somebody else, or you get something and then try and make it fit for somebody else, you lose, you know, they'll listen to it, it becomes apparent. And I think if you can capture that feeling within the record, then yeah, that's some of the best music, like in the 60s, you know, the recorded live, you feel it, you feel that, you know, not every note's perfect. Or,
yeah, and usually once you've got something down there, it might sound really raw and really, you know, like it's not recorded in a proper studio, but once you put all these layers on it, I mean, the last album started off where it was Mark's drum beat, and then I put some lyrics and guitar to it. We sent it to a friend called Hara Sue in Birmingham, and then she put all these crazy instruments on it and a beautiful voice over the top. And next minute, it sounds like a dance record from the 80s, but, you know, we never thought it was anything from some kind of illness before. But I just find it incredible where you can get something out of nothing, you know, and next minute, you've got some massive.
Yeah, it's almost like giving birth to a whole new thing, isn't it? That giving something life and away it goes and away it goes, and you just watch it grow and watch people love it. I mean, I think that's incredible. I mean, what kind of reaction have you had to this latest recording compared to the other ones? You say it sounds slightly different. I mean, certainly the two that I've heard are quite different in approach. That's really nice. That's refreshing from my perspective. What have your fans thought about that?
It's quite interesting actually, because in Farnworth, we live in Farnworth, which is famous, or famous for, he had a famous club back in the 90s.
Set for the wrong reason.
called the Pleasure Drum. It was called the Pleasure Drum, and you've kind of got the after effects in people's taste in music around there. They listen to dance music, they listen to chance music, and all these old house tunes and things like that. So I think we've got a better reaction from people in Farnworth. This latest record and our other stuff, which a lot of people in the pubs and things thought were a bit too depressing for them to listen to.
Yeah. A lot of people were the same age as me anyway, because I used to go there, and it was the same influence as people you grow up with. You're all into the same kind of music, so, you know, they can relate to it really well, because obviously, you know, I was there too, and it's, we used the TR-8 drum machine, which is like the new 808 machine, and it's like hip hop was made on it, acid house and all that, and that's sort of what I grew up with. So yeah, anybody that was around in that time, I'm sure will either appreciate it or, you know, whatever they feel. But there is that, and like a lot of the people that liked all the other stuff and like the really dark stuff didn't particularly like this one as much, but
yeah, like my dad. My dad was like, I'm not listening to it, and then after a while he got listened to it more and more, and he really likes this tune, he really likes that tune. I think a bit more of a grower for his taste, but yeah, it's interesting to listen to what people
it's hard. I think if you're mindful of trying to please people, then you're not going to capture that thing we're on about. So you just do what you will. And we weren't actually, I wasn't mindful that we were doing anything different, to be honest. It was just, I got a new thing I could make sounds with, and that album ended up being like it was.
Yes. Yeah, I was in a shop called Dawson's in Manchester. I think I was meeting Mark for a coffee, and he was a little bit late, so I walked in and I put these headphones on. You know, he
can just won a bet as well. He just won a bet. So.
I think I won something like £480 on this football bet, and I walked into Dawson's. Within 10 minutes of getting the money from the bookies, I bought this new synthesizer, and we took it home. I just thought it was amazing, so we took it home, and the day after we wrote the first song of the album on it. It just took us in a different direction, but sometimes that's what it's about, a new guitar, a new piece of new instrument or something.
I think going back to advice for people, like write music, I mean, if you've not a lot of money, which we didn't at the time, we had certain instruments, but I think when you get a bit older, you get a bit more money, you can afford different things. Or even not buy cheaper things that make different noises. But the more you have, if you're open to it, the more kind of different sounds you can accomplish. If you've only got an acoustic guitar, then you're going to make the most of that. If you can get an acoustic guitar and a effects pedal, then you can use them.
A lot of these new recording programs, such as Logic Pro and all these things, you can actually play guitar, and then you can push a button and it turns it into a keyboard, and it'll play the drums for you, and the different thing with us is everything's played live on the records. Everything's done by us and recorded into one microphone. So it's all
organic. I think that goes back as well to like being young, and like probably a lot of people from the 80s, when you had a tape recorder and you'd sit there and press play and record, and you'd be recording it. You know, you had to either get it right or you'd be rewinding and re-recording. We still use that ethic, but we've obviously a lot better equipment.
I love that. That sounds so authentic, doesn't it? You know, you're almost recording the soundtrack to your life and taking anything that you've got around you. And at the time, if it was a pair of spoons or a bongo, that would have been on your tracks by the sound of it. I love that.
People probably start there thinking, like, that's really cliche, but they forget, well, you know, I'm quite old. So.
Oh, I'm sure you're not.
I went busking around Europe in 2002 with Frank Oliver Maguire, and we wrote all these songs, and we got back and thought we had to do it in a studio, and we spent like £5,000 on four songs or something, and it just didn't sound like us. You know, and then when we recorded our own way, it did sound like us. So I don't think I'll ever go back to recording a studio.
Yes.
Not unless Turner's loose in there and she was able to press the buttons and leave us to it, and that'd be different. But yeah, I'm not sure. It's different. Well, you get set in your ways and you're like, you feel comfortable with what you can do, I think.
Yeah, sure. It's almost like creating your own sound and your own identity, isn't it? I mean, you've mentioned some, you know, the fact that you've been influenced from bands who have come out of the north. I mean, you're from, actually not so much Manchester, but nearer Bolton region, aren't you, to be honest? So, but you've
got...
Yeah, I mean, you've had, well, I don't know, crikey, name some bands. You've got Joy Division, The Verve, Happy Monday, Elbow, James, Buzzcocks, Take That. I mean,
yeah.
So many have come out of there. Who has been your biggest influence?
It wasn't Take That, but Mark was into, he got me into music in the first place. He had an amazing record collection. My first ever gig was The Verve, Hey All, like a homecoming gig, and that just made me want to play guitar.
It's not a Manchester band, but The Cure is one of my favourite bands. Mm. Then you've got all the dance music, hip hop was as well for me, but The Verve were a massive influence. I remember listening to them, like, one of the first times. It was a Northern Soul, somebody played it. And the guitar, like, Nick McCabe's guitar, it was unbelievable for me. Like, I couldn't play nowhere near that well, but I had an effects board, and he was doing the sounds that I wanted to, you know, I wanted to play like that, and just remember thinking, like, God, that's what I want to sound, but, I mean, I'm still nowhere near, but I remember... They had something that a lot of other bands didn't around at the time.
We was in a kitchen with Vinnie Riley, the guitar legend from a band called The Rooty Column. He was the first signing to Tony Wilson's record label.
Proper name dropping.
Factory Records, and we played him our first album, and he thought it was in. But it was just that was a big compliment. We also did an experimental track with band called Patchwork Rattlebag, and Nick McCabe actually said that speaks his language, so all these little confidence boosters along the way for us.
It's just like if you know people that you've looked up to and inspired you, actually, you know, even a comment that they liked it means a lot, and yeah, it makes you think like, oh god, yeah,
oh
just
yeah,
try and do something better and things like that.
We're not kind of people who go fishing for compliments or anything. It's just a bonus when anything happens, you know, when you meet someone like yourself, Kat, you know, when you meet you and talk about music and you're passionate about it and you say you like it, that's buzzing for us. But I think if no one likes it, we just carry on doing what we're doing.
You're still going to keep plugging away. I like that. But it's almost always a bonus, isn't it, if someone likes it. And if you have your peers who are saying great things, wow, that's even better, isn't it? I mean, that's wonderful.
Can't they call them peers? I already feel uncomfortable with that. It's like, you know.
No, you're all songwriters. You're all musicians. It's all just a different level. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. You're all there. You're doing your stuff. I mean, you've also had collaborations with a few people as well, haven't you? It's not just about yourselves doing things. I know that you've involved other people in your writing too. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, we love doing that. I don't know when it first started. I think on the first album I was taking samples from different things, whether it be a poem or Mark said it sounded great. So on the second album we actually started getting other people involved. Mostly girls I fancied across the world. You know, so I was
going to jump in and say that, but I thought...
They just became friends, and then we were passing sound files around the world. It was incredible, like to Seattle with a girl called Laura Marie, and she sang on that, and she put some cello on it. And then I'm not going to list all the girls I fancied, because it wasn't just like it.
Not all of them would collaborate.
And not all of them girls either.
Well, the collaboration...
The whole new community.
We had a little niece, Daisy, who sang on the first one, which was unbelievable. She was only four, and everyone liked that track as well, the Maple Leaf. Yeah, I forgot about that one. So she's on most of the records from then.
Oh, that's lovely.
I just think it just brings something different to it. No one expects someone... No one expects a four-year-old to come in singing on someone's album, do you?
Yeah, so that's a different kind of take on things. I mean, there's a track on the last album, got a friend to do for Virginia, and I actually wrote the poem to it, but it's absolutely brilliant. It's called Snowflakes. The way it sounds with her actually reciting it in the music, it just wouldn't have sounded the same if I'd have done it or Paul had done it, you know. Mm. It's a lost know, it just works so well.
Yeah, almost like adding a different dimension to it, isn't it, really? I suppose a little sprinkle of sparkle dust on there too. Like that.
I'm sure people would much rather listen to a really nice girl, Italian girl with the accent, than one of us, like, you know, with Ori. It's no matter how good that form is, it's going to lose something.
Well, you don't know, though. It depends what sex you are, doesn't it? Or actually, it doesn't matter about that, what orientation you are. You make no judgment of anyone. That's what I say.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some...
Or if you're not accentist, as possible.
I'm sure there's some girl out there in the world, far across the world, dreaming of some guy from Bolton.
Northern
monkey singing over something.
you never know. I'm sure there is. Now you've got this big gig coming up on Friday, but what's beyond that? You do actually do quite a lot of live work, don't you? Because I've seen your tour schedule. So tell me about what you're doing next.
We're thinking of getting, well, I'm going to say back in the studio, but it's not going to be back in the studio. It's going to be back in Mark's room recording again, I think. Mm-hmm. Just excited to get back on it. You know, we're not very restless when it comes to recording. I think we released one last year, the one on Halloween in 2016, so it'll be definitely another record.
We already have some songs that we need to do. It's just the ideas are there. We've just not had a chance to sit down and actually just spend a day playing them. So
we've got this feeling that we've got the live set together now, and as soon as a decent promoter hears us, that's just going to... We're going to have a breakthrough, and we'll be touring and give up our day jobs.
It's worth mentioning, though, as well, the live performances now, not like they used to be, how they are now, are slightly different than what's on the record. The songs are the same, but obviously we use live drums when we play live and things like that. And there's a lot more of, I'm always aware of when we do it on the record, is taking stuff out, keeping it a lot more simple, a lot more listenable in a way. Whereas if I go watching somebody live, I want, you know, sometimes more, so we'll tend to put maybe a bit more psychedelic live, I'm not sure. Man. But yeah, it is slightly different than the record, but the songs are the same.
Well, a lot of artists do that, don't they? They adapt it for that particular venue or that particular performance they're doing, because what you're producing on record is sometimes very different, isn't it? What you're doing in the live arena. So I can understand that. I mean, do you prefer the live performance or the recording?
No, it depends. I mean, I used to hate playing live. It wasn't my favourite thing. So I still prefer the creative aspect of making music. I do love doing that. Playing them in the studio, things like that, to practice, create a new song. But I actually enjoy playing live now. I think it was all what we were going through at the time back then, and we never ever practiced. I said it in a couple of interviews lately that we would just take a gig and Paul would have the song on acoustic, and then we'd just be making stuff up like 10 minutes before going out with it. And it shows to me, it shows. Not a good thing at all, but you know, it could be argued if we hadn't done that, we won't be doing what we're doing at the moment. But it's I don't want to ever watch some of them things back ever.
I prefer the recording side of it, but there is a certain post, you know, gig day or gig week. I'm looking forward to this one, especially because I know we're ready for it. And who'd have thought we were going to be playing the Ritz, you know? Some lads from Farmer Fees to play in the bedroom and things like that. And used to be scared of even singing in front of people, singing in front of parents. That used to be frightening as well. But now it's just not even anything to us. We just get up there and do it and enjoy it.
Amazing. An absolutely amazing journey you guys have been on. And how long have you actually been together? Obviously, you're brothers, so you're lifelong pals. But as a band, you know, some kind of illness, how long have you been together?
It depends. Doing what we're doing at the moment, it's not so long. It's only 3 years, but the actual Some Kind of Illness thing is quite old. It's 2001, right?
That's when we first started jamming and like that. And that's where we first came up with our name, well, our friend did anyway. Yeah. But it's 3 years today since we had our first proper gig.
Wow, happy anniversary. That's terrific.
Yeah, I noticed that before. You know, these Facebook reminders would come up.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't like them because it reminds me of a horrible time. But one came up today, a poster of our first proper gig.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, do you know what? I wish you all the best for Friday and the Ritz. It sounds like it's going to be a great gig. So if someone actually wants to go to that gig, or in fact, if they want to buy your music, where can they get it all from?
If you want to buy the music, iTunes, Spotify, Bandcamp's probably my favourite one. Everything you can think of are on there. You can listen to us on SoundCloud. But yeah, buy it on iTunes, then we get paid properly.
iTunes is the place to go then. I want to get you some money out of this as well. Got to keep you in booze and fag somehow, haven't we?
Yeah. Amazon as well, you can get it on there. But yeah, if you want to come to the gig, you can. I don't think there's many tickets left, but you can turn up and try your luck. You can always get one off the touts outside in Manchester and pay extortionate rates.
I'm sure.
I think it's got to find on the door, or you can get them online at the Ritz website.
I'm sure it'll be worth it for whatever way they get there to see you. And of course, no doubt you'll be around in Manchester and also the wider region of the UK at some point as well soon. So I wish you all the best and I do hope it goes well on Friday. And I do hope that people come and see you wherever you are and, of course, buy your music. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Dad.
Thank you so much for talking to me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much, Dad. Thanks a lot, Dad.
You've been listening to Cattails.
To listen again to this and other tales, go to cattails.co.uk.